This is the A2R Recovery Service podcast. Copyright Dave Cooper, all rights reserved.
Hello, my name's Dave Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another in the A2R series of podcasts. This is the third in the Advanced Recovery series, and we ended the last one with a question. And the question was, why is there a good reason why often when you do take the risk and you do talk about what you need and what you want, why do people not respond the way you think they were going to? And I said there was a very good reason for this, and we would start with that the following week. Well, here it is. The reason people don't or often respond differently to how you expect and how you've built it up in your mind when you ask them something or when you talk about what you want or need is because often in the narcissistic personality, what happens is that there is what we might call a construction which gives you more power than it should. Now, let me just explain that. What I'm trying to say is this. In your construction of the way life is, the way the world is, you place yourself with a lot of power. And by power, what I'm talking about is the idea of knowing what people think. Now, it's just one of the things that happens with the narcissistic personality that we're going to look at today. And I said it was going to be all about narcissism and shame and so on. And we are going to do that, but it's going to take more than one session. I don't like to make these sessions too long. I don't want to ask you to have to sit here and listen through some kind of dry 4-hour lecture on, you know, the psychology of this stuff. I want to really come at these things in a brief way that will impact you and give you something to think about, but will not try and cover a vast subject like this. So let's go back to the sharpness of this idea, this question of how do you give yourself too much power? Well, there's two ways in which you might generally be doing this. The first one is that you will be thinking that you know what people think. Now, let me just say that again. You will be believing in your construction of how things are that you know what people think. Now, if you know what people think, you're going to know how they're going to respond. And so you may have been having all sorts of internal conversations in your head. Yeah, well, there's no point saying that because he'll say this and then I'll say that. And then what's the point? So you know. Now, don't get me wrong. We do know people. We do. It's part of our security that we feel like we need to feel that we know people. But often, particularly in something that we're taking a risk in, you know, if you've not asked for what you need, if you've not told people what your wants are and what you would like to happen, if you haven't done that before, then I think it's often the case that people react very differently to how you think they're going to, because this idea of you knowing what they think has really never been tested. So that's the first way in which you might be giving yourself too much power in the way you feel the world is. The second way, just as important, is that in the way that you engage with people, in the way that you relate and build relationships with people, you're giving yourself, again, too much power in how you manipulate their opinion of you. So let's just break that down a little bit. What I'm saying is that in your construction of how the world is, you are imagining that you have a lot more influence on people than you actually do. Let me talk about that in more specific ways. You feel, most likely, if you've got this narcissistic personality going on, you're quite likely to feel that you can manipulate someone into liking you, or put it probably more practically, you can manipulate them into not liking you. You can prevent them from not liking you. Now, I've got some really difficult truth for you right now, and I think it's something that we need to change in order to rebalance our construction of things and get ourselves back to a more healthy place and a more healthy relationship with the world. And it's this. People either like you or they don't. Now, just let that one sink in for a minute, right? Because even though you probably know that in your head, you're probably not behaving as if that's true. Let me just say that again. People either like you or they don't. Now, just test this out with yourself. When you first meet someone, do you not get a feeling about them? Do you not sort of sense whether they are going to be someone you like or not? Sometimes you just know they just rub you up the wrong way. You just don't like them. Now, what you'll find is that if you have that sense of liking someone, what will happen is it doesn't matter if they, I don't know, do a few things wrong. It doesn't matter if they just snub you once or twice or if they don't. There'll be a tendency to let them off the hook. And likewise, if someone rubs you up the wrong way and you just know you don't like them, you can't even say why, you just don't really get on, what you'll find is that you're quite judgmental around them and that they can't really get away with anything around you. And so this is a prejudice and it's a bias, but it's a very natural one. And everyone has an element of this. We all get on with some people more than others. And this is how it is with them. They see you and they make up their minds. And it's all part and parcel of the narcissistic approach to things, the personality approach to things, that you don't actually regard people in the same richness as you do yourself. Now, I put that in a slightly different way. You see other people as being less than yourself. That's what helps you construct it that way, that says, I can manipulate them. If you saw them as being as unique and individual and quirky and different as yourself and rich in personality as yourself, you wouldn't think that. You'd realise that they were going to make their own minds up, which they do. Some of them like you, some of them don't, some of them haven't even thought about it, right? All that happens, if you try and manipulate people into liking you, all that happens is you tend to attract using personalities. That's all that happens. People who like to use people and people who like to, you know, drag a lot of favours out of people and so on, they will be attracted to that when you start doing that because they can see that that's what they can do with you. It won't make anyone like you anymore. It won't make anyone like you any less. So those the two ways in which your construction is probably giving you too much power. And that's why it's such a shock to people sometimes when they enter recovery, they enter treatment, and they take some of these risks and they say, you know what I really need at the moment? I need a hug. You know what I really need at the moment? I need to be on my own. You actually start to own these needs and you start to tell people what you want. And then you get very unexpected reactions. Well, there's two of the reasons why. Now, I want to talk about maturity a little bit because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about really overcoming some of your personality issues. And I've always said, you know, this is going to take a while. It's not something that can happen overnight. But I just want to talk about one maturity process. And we talk about maybe maturity versus immaturity and what you might notice. I want to give you a principle that will be a very good guide for any one of us trying to become more mature. Because we can start to spot this principle in our lives or the absence of it. Now, let me put it to you in a simple way. Maturity is influencing the outside from your inside. Immaturity is allowing the outside to influence your inside. Now, that's a basic principle of maturity. If you think about mature people, if you think about the mature people you know in your life, maybe people you'd like to be a bit more like them, what are they doing? Largely, they're staying consistent, aren't they? There's a consistency about mature people. There's a sort of a philosophical view of things. And the way they are doing this, if we reduce it to a principle, what it means is this. It means that their insides, what they have, who they are, what they believe, is having more influence on the things and the people around them than the people around them are having on them. Now, that's not the same as saying that they're inflexible or that you can't change their mind. I'm just saying it's one principle of maturity. If you look at an immature practice, if you look at someone who's not really examining their life, not really growing up, they're just growing older, right? What you will see is that they're very influenced by their surroundings. You'll see that if they get, I don't know, a bill drops on the mat, you know, suddenly it's all doom and gloom and it's all, oh, the end is nigh, you know, because I've got another bill. Or because, you know, somebody spoke badly to me or they gave me the wrong look or, you know, there's a lot of that stuff going on where the slightest little thing apparently can spin them off into some kind of emotional state. So that you can see what I mean now when I say that influence is going from the outside to the inside. And what happens in recovery, particularly in the kind of treatment that I practice, is that we bring what I call the locus of concern internally. We start to look at what we can change and what we can't change, and we start to own our stuff. We start to say, instead of saying, he looked at me funny, or she did this, or he said that, we start saying, I resent them. And we put it that way around, I. It starts with I, and that gets the locus of concern internally. You start to look at how you can change you. And one of the... I'm probably going to finish on this today because there's so much of this stuff that I want to talk about, but I really don't want to bombard you with this. But I'll finish with this idea. And it's a question that I ask just about every client I ever work with, and it's often a question I ask quite early on, but it's perfectly relevant to ask yourself this now if you're not in active treatment with myself. It's something that you can ask yourself. If you do this little experiment now with me, it just won't take a minute. I want you to just close your eyes if it helps to this process, but I want you to take yourself forwards. Now, it can be 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever you want to do, however you think it might be the most useful. I want you to take yourself forwards, and in that 10 years or that 2 years or that 5 years, I want you to give yourself the maturity that you want. Think about what you'll be able to do with that maturity. Think about how you will be able to stay away from your addictive behaviour or your substance. Think about how you'll be able to engage with people in a more mature way, how you'll be able to maybe give something back, I don't know. Whatever your wants are, whatever you feel you want to achieve in your recovery and your maturity. Now, having gone forward 2 years, 5 years or whatever, what I want you to do now is look around you from that perspective of 2 years' time, 5 years' time. Look around and see all the people in your life. Except here's the one difference. They haven't changed at all. They have not changed one iota. They are absolutely still the people that they are today. And that's the experiment, you see. Just check out how does that feel. If your recovery, as you see it, as you understand it, if what you've been doing, if the locus of concern is too external, in other words, if you've been saying to yourself, well, I could recover if only he'd stop doing this, or if only I didn't have this job, or if only I wasn't married to her, if you've been saying that, then this experiment will be almost impossible for you to do. You will not be able to hold that idea in your head of you changing so much and them not changing at all. So it's a useful little experiment to do. The day that you can imagine yourself fully mature, fully recovered, fully happy, joyous and free, or whatever you want to call it, and you can look around and see people being just as problematic, just as awkward, just as themselves as they ever were, then you'll know that the locus of concern is completely internal. You have now really passed a great benchmark in recovery because no one can really stop you from this point. You're going to recover and you're going to do it really well. Now, I'm going to leave it there for today. I hope you got a lot out of that. There is a lot more to come, but as I say, I'm going to try and take it in segments. Now, let me encourage you, if you want a longer podcast, if you want to go further, then by all means let me know. If these short ones are working for you, let me know. It'd be great to hear some comments about that. So until next time, I'll speak to you later. Bye for now.